Hi, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Vaccine Free America. I have a wonderful guest who is joining me all the way from Australia. She is a tremendous activist. I am so proud to present her to you. Her name is Alona Lawn, and she has said she would take action and get a lot of people activated for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And she just sent me a list of the different locations throughout Australia where they will be taking action. And, you know, wow, I'm so impressed, to put it mildly. But I want to concentrate on Alona herself first, and then we will get into the action she's taking. Welcome, Alona Lawn, to this program.
Yeah, thank you, Sally. Great to be here.
Well, I know you've recently run for public office, and I'd like you to tell us all about that, if you would.
Yeah, so here in Australia, we call it the Senate, the upper and the lower house. So I ran for Senate in the state of Queensland for the Involuntary Medication Objectors Vaccination Fluoride Party. So it's the first party in the world that I'm aware of that was focusing specifically on vaccination and fluoride, so the poisoning of the people. Yeah, so I was pretty excited. So overall, we had candidates in New South Wales, Western Australia and Queensland, and we got 17,000 votes, which for Australia isn't bad for a first-time party, and given that we're a smaller country, we've got 25 million people. We did really well. We were really happy. We stirred the pot. We raised awareness, and it was a very powerful journey. So super excited.
No jab, no pay, no way. How did that all come down? Would you like to explain what transpired in Australia and how you, Alona, took a specific action that I'm interested to hear about? I won't say more than that, but if you're not clear on what I'm speaking about, I will clarify. Go ahead,
okay.
Alona.
Okay. So essentially in early 2015, the then Prime Minister Tony Abbott announced he was going to do no jab, no pay. And what that meant was, if you're not fully up to date with the 13 to 15 different disease injections on the childhood schedule here in Australia, you were unable to get some family tax benefits. So that equated to $14 per child in your family. And on top of that, they also implemented no jab, no play, which meant that your unvaccinated child, again, if not fully vaccinated, was unable to attend daycare and kindy. And that was that's in the states of Victoria, New South Wales, Queens, and now WA. WA just passed, no jab, no play. Here in Queensland, where I am, we have where the daycares have the right to refuse. We also have no unvaccinated children are unable to get childcare rebates and childcare benefits, which for some families equates to about $15,000 per child that they are unable to get from the government for childcare benefits. So it's a big blow to Australia. It's an erosion.
You mean that sounds like your entire taxation for the year. I don't understand how that the school part of that would have to be a whole lot less, would it not?
Well, the school, we are able to go to school. The policies have yet to affect school. But so kindy is like preschool, like prior to school, entering school. And daycare is obviously from when the child's a baby up until, you know, the age of five, and then they go to kindergarten. So it is that age group that's being targeted because they want a vaccination rate of 95%. So they're using financial bribery and intimidation. Yeah, $15,000 is a lot of money. Some people are more.
Per child.
Yeah, so that's the daycare. That's the daycare. So let's get clear on this, Sally. If you send your child to daycare, what happens is you pay full price, which equates to about $100 a day. If you can get your childcare benefits and rebates, you would pay about $20 to $30 a day. So that's where the $15,000 comes into it if you send your child to daycare. So what's happened here in Australia, most people don't. We have set up like childcare co-ops. We've set up little learning centres, and we're basically saying F you to the Australian government, because we have to set up alternatives that are affordable, and so we're helping each other out, essentially.
Wonderful. And how many of them are across Australia approximately? You spearheaded this, did you not?
Look, I've definitely been there. I'm probably what I would consider a networker. So people around Australia contact me. I connect them with their local groups so that they have support and they have, you know, people around them that can help them out in difficult situations and empower each other. So I'm the networker. I'm the go-to if people want information. We also do have the Australian Vaccination Risks Network. That is probably our main body here in Australia. And so, yeah, between them and everyone that's doing stuff, yeah, no, we have quite a few people standing up and making a difference, so, which we've got to, because we don't have a choice.
Right. And I am absolutely blown away at the cost of childcare. I mean, yes. I don't even know what to say about that. You practically can't afford to have children in Australia.
We do know of cases, and, you know, I know of numerous families that have decided to have no more children because of just, and over here, the bullying and the division in our families is out of control. The government have created an extreme bullying, segregation, discrimination division in our community. It is horrific. It is very nasty, and it's not very nice. So, yeah, the government have a lot to answer for. And on top of that, to financially punish families, you know, families that are reliant on those tax benefits, is just disgusting. And so the wealthy aren't affected because they often aren't eligible for those benefits. So they're targeting, you know, the people that are already hurting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah,
I mean, embarrassed to be Australian. I'm embarrassed, ashamed of our government. I just can't believe this is where the world's gone to, where the Australian government's gone to. It's terrible.
But this, now you're saying, does not affect grade one through, 18 years.
So we can still go to school, but what happens is your family tax benefits are up until the child's 19. So for 19 years, you miss out on that money.
Okay, not just the portion that pertains to school, but the entire, from first grade through 12th grade, which is our school system here in America.
Yes.
What would that actually cost you for those years?
Okay, so it would be the family tax benefits that are affected. So, again, that's $14 per week per child up to the age of 19. If you decide to put your child into after-school care, that's when the childcare rebates and the childcare benefits, you won't be able to get those benefits. So you will pay full price. So the school as such isn't affected. We are not affected in the schooling system. So it is the aftercare that is the problem, and it is your family tax benefits from 0 to age 19 that's affected.
Okay. Well, it is complicated. I'm really trying to figure it all out. I know that in New York City recently, you heard, I'm sure, in Brooklyn, they were going door to door to administer the MMR vaccine, or you'd get charged $1,000 per child if you rejected it. This was like a wild extortion racket, as far as I'm concerned. The mayor said it has nothing to do with money. Well, then don't charge people. You know, when you can buy your way out of herd immunity, how realistic is herd immunity? You and I know it's bupkis, but this just proves it. The fact that you can buy your way out of it right there tells you everything you need to know. But after he pulled off this unbelievable thing, he announced he's running for president. So when he just, yeah, isn't that amazing, the timing of it? He wanted to let Pharma know, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
And then he announces, and he just withdrew, obviously, for lack of support. So I couldn't be happier for lack of people's support. You have to get a certain amount of support from the people to participate in the debates. So he was not getting that. He was not getting, he was going to get a lot of money from pharma, but he didn't get the percentage he needed to reach from the actual public, you know, after pulling that stunt. So I couldn't be happier. I just hope he doesn't go for an illegal third term the way Bloomberg did. And then in his last days of his third term, which he got without a ballot initiative, he put forth that mandated flu shot for the babies, which Australia had pulled because of death.
Yeah. Yes.
See?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can we not learn from other people's mistakes? Obviously, that's exactly the reaction they wanted. Or they're not living under a shell, but certainly he called everybody who didn't agree with him crazy, because that's what you call people when they're telling the truth, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we have certainly our own terrible things. New York just lost all the exemptions, and the latest bill is to take away medical. I want you to hear, Alona, what the health department did without legislature. They reduced the medical exemptions to this, either anaphylaxis, and what does that say?
Yeah.
They don't want you dying on the property, on school property, because anaphylaxis can lead to death. And so you're excused because we don't want you dying on the property. Or if you've had a transplant. Now, a friend of mine had a transplant. The organ was donated by her niece. She still had to pay $1 million. Okay. Luckily, she was associated with some kind of a fellowship that raised it for her. But $1 million you have to give to the medical industrial complex in order to get out. Or if you're currently going through chemo, and I can tell you of two instances of children who are currently going through chemo who are cancer free. Okay. So, one of those just taken away from their parents because the parents didn't agree. Well, I know. This is such a delight. So this is what's going down here in the United States. I want your fellow Australians to hear what a nightmare we're living through. Not that they would celebrate it. We all truly feel for one another.
Yeah, I think it's hard to know who's actually got it worse. I just sit there and I'm in shock that any country would do any of that. But at the same time, our only medical exemption here in Australia for the last 2 years has been anaphylaxis. So you essentially have to have a reaction to the vaccine before you can get an exemption. And then it is only to that vaccine. It's not to the rest of them. So we have specialized clinics set up here in Australia with an emergency department next door. So you can take your child to be vaccinated and then resuscitated next door. I mean, this is disgusting. And that is in all the capital cities. Australia, the medical system will fly these children to these special clinics and then vaccinate them, even though they may have had seizures, unable to breathe, encephalitis, whatever the case may be, directly after vaccination, and they still vaccinate them. We are just in this mad world. I do just want to ask a question about what you said before about the door-to-door in Brooklyn. So can you just tell me what the families that the door was knocked on, what did they say and how did they feel? Like, what happened?
I want to know the firsthand account myself. I'm in touch with the only rabbi in Brooklyn who's talking. And I have written to him and said, would you kindly let me know exactly how that went down? Because as it was put forth, they would go door to door. They would require that the children be vaccinated if they did not have the MMR. And, I would also like to take a moment to say that Brooklyn has Hasidic Jews, this area, and black people. Now, let us talk about the MMR. The glyphosate, according to Dr. Seneff, is 5 times the amount in the MMR. It's getting there through the pig bones.
Yeah, okay? Well.
So Jews do not eat pork, but yeah, it's okay to inject it into their systems. And it's 5 times as much glyphosate, which means 5 times as much pig bones in the MMR as other vaccines. Now let's take a look at the other population that everybody ignored, the black population. Doesn't the MMR have a 2.5 times rate of autism in black boys, according to the CDC whistleblower? Why, yes, it does. And yes, these are the documents that were shredded at the CDC. So I want people to take a look at the vaccine chosen to be pushed. Now, these measles, this is a false flag operation. There is no measles outbreak. And as in California, this entire scenario was predicted by a what do they call that? They had a study. It was called, I can't remember the name of the study, but it's a very revealing word, before the measles outbreak. The NIH funded a study that a woman by the name of Kathleen Harriman, who is a very well-known name here in the United States, she voted to increase the number of MMR vaccines, to add it as a member of the ACIP. She participated in this study funded by the NIH. And basically what the study said is there could be a measles outbreak in Disneyland. And it could be run on the media night and day because it's the happiest place on earth. And then we could accuse the non-vaxxers of causing it.
Yeah.
And then exemptions could be removed. This was published after the measles outbreak and the hysteria and the blaming the non-vaxxers, as a report called, what is that ride at Disney World? It's a Small World After All. That's how it was published. She published it.
Right.
So this simulation study, that's it, a simulation study. We've heard of a lot of simulations going live. Well, this one certainly did it not?
Mm.
And this revelation actually caused the legislators in Oregon to say, I wonder if there actually is a measles outbreak, and also in Massachusetts. So they did not pass legislation to remove exemptions. I tried to get this information to our legislature here in New York, but they would not listen to the public. The public here in New York did not have any voice. It went from the health department, where it was tied, and the assembly overturned that. They made somebody change their vote, and then it went to another committee. I believe it was the codes. I'm not completely sure about that. Then to the assembly, then to the Senate, and the governor signed off all in one day.
Yeah.
And when it came to the medical, reducing the criteria for medical, they didn't even go to the legislature. The health department decided on that. So within 1 week's 10 days max, we have undergone practically identically what California has taken from 2015 to 2019 to undergo. Just wanted to sum it up for you.
Yeah, wow. I mean, and this is the problem as I see it. Things are moving at a much faster rate. So we don't have time to muck around anymore. We have to start raising awareness, get loud and proud. Things are speeding up, and we're noticing the same art over here. You know what I mean? They sort of slowly implemented no jab, no pay. Well, slowly, as in I think it took them about 9 months, although there was talks of that a few years prior. So it took them about that. But so now, like, each state.
We're going to a break, my friend. I must cut you off here. We'll be back shortly with Vaccine Free America. My guest is Alona Lawn. Thank you.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Open up our eyes and our
heart. Hello, everyone. Hi there. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome back to Vaccine Free America. My guest is Ilona Lahn from Australia. She has recently run for Senate, and this is so delightful to hear people taking real action. And I'm sure she can encourage others to run for Senate, too, so you guys can have a voting bloc. I ran for Congress once. I got 16 other people to run with me, but there are actually 500 congressmen, you know. So I don't know that that was sufficient. How many Congress people or senators or how many people in your major voting outlet?
So in the Senate, there is about six per state. So there's probably about 36 senators thereabout. I'm not exactly sure of the number. But so the odds to get in were pretty slim. There were about 50 people running for Senate, and then there were six elected. It was slim chance. But what I loved about making a stand is literally making a stand. So for me, it wasn't about getting in or not getting in. And what I have done out of that is created relationships with senators that are now elected. And I think that's really powerful. And I think there's a respect there too when, you know, other people see you make that big stand. So, yeah, so well done to you for standing up as well. I think everyone should. Like, how else are we going to make change?
Right. Well, people don't want to be noticed. And you are, when you step out and you're running for office, that's about as public as you can get, you know, and you have to do it. All of the people like the anonymous group who wear masks, I say, if you're telling the truth, show your face, say your name, stand in your truth, and others will do likewise. You have to show them how, and that's what you're doing, Ilona. You're showing them how, and I just commend you tremendously. This is not a long period. I believe, Ken, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the shorter breaks, or is this a long one? Okay, so we have the rest of the show right now? Okay, thank you very much. Well, then, great. I'm going to ask you, Ilona, if you will, to tell us about the event that you're hosting and as much as you know about the other events. And why don't you start from the earliest date forward, and then we'll, you know, show people what to do. That's what you're really doing. You're telling people, I don't know how big an Australian audience we have, but certainly if you are in Australia, Ilona Lahn has started a page or a group. Is it a page or a group on Facebook?
Yeah, look, there is a group called Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and this is activated. So throughout the year, different vaccine injury will be shared from there, but it predominantly becomes more active in the lead up to October. And the page was designed to, promote the events and to raise awareness about vaccine injury, of course. So what I've done is done a bit of a call out here in Australia. Last year we had a couple of events, but this year it looks like we're going to have a lot more, which is awesome. So the first one at this stage is Cairns, which is up far north Queensland, and that's on the 13th of October. We've got Sydney.
Could I ask you, Ilona, do you know what they're doing? Because I've just said to people here in America, I've recommended different actions, because over the past 10 years, there have been so many different actions. Do you know which kind of actions they're taking? Are they doing rallies, or is each place doing a different kind of an action? And if so, would you tell us what that is? Give people ideas of what they can do.
Yeah, look, each of the different places will do different things. Last year, Cairns actually did do a rally and they shut down the Esplanade in Cairns. This time round, and they had a police escort and everything, this time round they've decided to keep it a little bit more low-key to try and encourage more families to come. And so that will be a picnic in the park. Melbourne is on the 18th, and that's a Friday evening. So they have decided to do a candlelight vigil, and so light some candles, have some silence, but also have some speakers. I'm actually conveniently going to be down in Melbourne, so I'll be there for that event, which is pretty awesome. So we've got some great speakers down there. So we'll just share some information, share our vaccine injury stories, and that sort of stuff. Perth will do a rally. They just recently had No Jab, No Play introduced, and so they're pretty fired up over there. Their health minister, the state health minister, told them to bugger off. So they're a little bit peeved. So Perth will do a rally on the 19th. And then Sydney last year did a candlelight vigil, and they walked around. This year, I haven't had confirmation of what they're actually going to do. The talk is, I'm thinking, is probably more a picnic in the park with a few people getting up and sharing their stories. Hobart on the 19th, so Hobart is right down there in Tassie at the bottom end of Australia. So on the 19th, I know the leaders down there are pretty fired up as well, so probably more than likely a rally, which would mean, families coming and speakers and signs, walking around maybe through their mall or something with signs. Newcastle, which is just north of Sydney in New South Wales, they're also doing something. I haven't actually confirmed with them what type of event they're doing. I effectively have really sold this to the people, is simply get together. I think what we need to make sure is that people do connect. Just by connecting, you empower, you get your support networks, and, you know, we can create a community. The other places, I'm from the Sunshine Coast. I will be doing something here on the Sunshine Coast. I did set the date of the 27th of October. I'm now reassessing that. And so essentially when we have our set dates, you can either go to the Vaccine Injury Awareness Month page or the AVN, which is the Australian Vaccination Risks Network. So it's www.avn.org.au. have kindly said that they will list the different events for us and where they're going to be, the time and the type of event. So therefore, everyone in Australia has a go-to point to find out, you know, where events are going to be held in their area. We've also got Northern Rivers, which is the hub of unvaccinated, and that's where the founder of the AVN actually lives. So they're going to do an event there. And again, they're just in talks at the moment, but what will happen is Northern Rivers, Gold Coast, which is a huge non-vaccine area, then we've got Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast all have yet to decide, but Queensland will have quite a few events because I'm up here and I can see the discussions happening. We just haven't set everything in place, so that you, for people, there might be a few different choices through the month of October for Southeast Queensland, which is awesome. I've also, Adelaide, which is down south, I have connected with them and, again, have yet to hear. But I think everyone anywhere in Australia can set up an event, and even if that is just a picnic in the park and sharing some stories of, because, look, everyone I know has a vaccine injury story. They know of somebody, they themselves have been injured, their friend was injured. It's literally everyone I speak to, even whether they're pro-vax or not, have a story. And that's what shocks me. You know, vaccine injury is so underreported here in Australia. And, Sally, just so that you know, the TGA, which is our Therapeutic Goods Association, that's where the adverse reports events take place. And the irony of that is that they say on their website that between 90 to 95% of adverse reactions to drugs are reported. So what that means is 90 to 95% of drug adverse reactions aren't reported. Isn't this crazy? So essentially it's the underreporting is out of control. And so everyone I know has a vaccine injury story. So time we share
those. That's true. And let me tell you, Facebook has hidden all of the parents I've interviewed. I didn't realize that until I got I am violating community standards warning. And I say, if you haven't gotten one of these warnings, you are not doing your job. Your job is to save mankind with Alona and myself and many, many others, but not enough. We need everybody in this fight. So, I interview all kinds of people, doctors and scientists and, you know, whatever, professionals. But my real purpose is to interview the parents and get their stories out there for one reason. So people identify their horrid reactions, or just not even completely horrid reactions, as a vaccine injury, because once they do that, then they wake up. Oh my gosh, you know. And recently I've been calling people's attention to obesity as a vaccine injury. I was at the pool the other day and there are a gargantuan number of children and all of them were fat. And I'm like, these are active children. I normally don't look in children's eyes because it breaks my heart to see the disconnect or the dullness in their eyes, unlike the unvaccinated children whose eyes twinkle with intelligence. They sparkle with intelligence. But nonetheless, so I don't look in the eyes of children anymore. But you can't not look at rotund children who are athletic, you know? So I have basically taken this and I made a little thing, tinyurl.com/vaccinesmakeyoufat, Why? Yeah. Because we're telling you diabetes, you don't care. We're telling you cancer and asthma allergies and every disease in internal medicine. And so we're telling you all this and you don't care. We're telling you about the death rate in infants and you don't care. Well, these same people who don't care about that care profoundly about their waistline. Okay. Oh my God, I could be fat. Oh, so I, you know, okay, prevent obesity. Don't vaccinate. If that's what it's going to do, okay, fine, we'll go that way. I don't care. But I don't even know where I was going with this, but this is something that needed to be said because there are people out there, if they're going to lose their hair, oh no. And it'll cause hair loss. Oh, it'll change your hair color too, because it's affecting your DNA. And I've heard of eye color changing as well. So let's all get real with the outward signs, just so that we pull more people into this fight. Where did you leave off? Because I wasn't going down this road. I just thought I'd take a pit stop.
Yeah, no, good on you. Well, my story is at 21, I had the hepatitis B vaccine. I went in for a pap smear and was told I was at high risk of getting hepatitis B because I worked in the hospitality industry. So I had the series of three vaccines, and I've always had allergies and eczema. Well, after those vaccines, I was covered. I was literally covered head to toe for 7 years with eczema. So if people are concerned about their looks, don't get a vaccine, particularly if you already have a genetic predisposition, which I did. I should never have been vaccinated. And I'm still angry to this day that there was no discussion on the side effects and the possibility of what could happen to me. So I've actually had years of hell. In amongst that, you know, the autoimmune issues, severe allergies. I have anaphylaxis to dairy now. So everywhere I go, I have to ask what's in the food. Anaphylaxis, so if people don't know, is where your throat swells up and you're unable to breathe. On top of that, often you get hives, your face will swell up, you become intensely itchy, your eyes close up, your throat swells up, you can't breathe. And, you know, we're creating this epidemic around the world. I just want to talk about, you were talking about the health of your children over there in America. Well, the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare recently here in Australia did a report that stated 54% of Australians have a chronic health condition. 54%. That means we have a sick society and we are not healthy, and yet the doctors and specialists and everyone just keep drugging people, thinking that's the way to good health, when obviously it's not, because we have an epidemic of disease here in Australia. Cancer is also Australia is number one in the world for cancer and allergies. So here in Australia, we are obviously doing something wrong. Now, we have as heavy a schedule as what Americans do. I think over here, because we probably spray more pesticides, chemicals and all the rest of it. For some reason, we have this extreme rate of ill health. Just recently, our government, well, actually the inquiry is happening now. So one of the MPs, one of our people in Parliament, have actually just said they're going to do an inquiry into anaphylaxis and allergy. The irony of this is both of those, anaphylaxis and allergies, is written on a vaccine insert. And yet this will not be taken into consideration into that inquiry. So I have called upon the Australian public and people that are concerned about the vaccination schedule to actually send in letters with proof that anaphylaxis and allergies is caused by vaccination, which I know it without a doubt has triggered me, and with the allergies covered in eczema. So we've got some severe issues here in Australia. And that inquiry, I just think, is a joke, because what they will look at is how to treat it. And we know EpiPens are a $1 billion industry. And EpiPen, every school in Australia, every medical place in Australia has EpiPens. It's a phenomena. And do you know what? when they said to me, oh, yeah, just take your EpiPen. Not what caused me to have anaphylaxis, what caused me to have those severe allergies. Nobody cares about that. And do you know what? That's what I think is a disgrace. There's a big white elephant in the room. We have chronic illness and nobody appears to care. So, yeah, look, we've just got to keep doing it what we're doing. And we know for a fact with the vaccine injury is just a given over in America. You have, what, paid out over $4 billion in compensation for injury. You know, here in Australia, we don't even have that. We have nothing. We have nothing. When I went to the Senate inquiry for No Jab, No Pay, you know what the Australian Medical Association said? Oh, we have Medicare. So what that means is every Australian has the right to reduced medical fees. And so they said, we have Medicare, so we don't need a compensation. Too bad for the loss of income through working, through taking care of your child, through personal injury and all of that sort of stuff. That's so not taken into consideration. And I just think it's just a disgrace where we're at. And even the anaphylaxis, you know, the stupid physician for the speaking on behalf of the AMA and a couple of different bodies said, oh, it's not the vaccine per se that creates, that people have a reaction to, it's an ingredient in a vaccine. Well, I'm sorry, that ingredient is a vaccine, so it is the vaccine that is causing that problem. I just can't believe the madness of how people justify what's happening. So, yeah, here in Australia, we're a mess, Sally. So I think around the world...
I love doing this. I had a great conversation with a woman from Italy, and we played compare and contrast between Italy and Australia. So I've made some notes as you're talking so I can play this game, compare and contrast. VAERS, which is our reporting system, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. I have quotes from six different sources that are in on the front lines saying that it's 1 in 1,000 are reported. So that would be 0.1 or 0.01. I don't know. But they keep saying to us that it's 1 to 10% reported. No, it's you have to add three zeros. They're saying 540,000 reports, and this dates back a while. I don't know if you realize, 1 year, VAERS was completely wiped. They just completely, oh, look, we lost all reports. But anyway, so let's say that 540,000 reports dates back, or 440, let's just say 500,000, okay? That would really be 500 million if you add three zeros, you know? Mm-hmm. So if it's really 1 in 1,000, we're saying it's not 500,000, it's 500 million that is going unreported. That's amazing, you know, that is real. That is the real number. I don't know. Can we play, if it's 540,000 and you add three zeros, that would be 540 million. We don't even have 540 million people in this country. Oh, no. This is since VAERS began. That's since VAERS began. So I don't know, but it's 1 in 1,000, not 1 in, you know, 1 in 100. And the 54% chronically ill, this is a very old number. We have, it's more like 65 to 70%. The 54%, as I say, is a very old number. And I remember doing cards, making up cards saying that 50% of our children are chronically ill. By the time they delivered, the new number came out that there were 54%. And this now is going back 5 years. So I don't know where we are now, but it's not getting better as we increase the number of vaccines. There's only one way vaccines go, and that's up. So there is a critical study that Ingrid Castle, who's program is next Immunize Wisely. She asked me to help this woman, Joy Garner, who I have done everything I can to help. And I want you to look at this, please, Alona, thecontrolgroup.org.
Okay.
And what they are doing is taking a survey, and I don't know if surveys taken in other countries would help her or if all the surveys she's taken would help you, because you have the same statistic of 54%. That's the one we've been playing with for a long time. You have the same schedule, although I understand you did remove the flu shot for the under four or under five crowd. So that would be a major one that we give every year, and two, the first year it's administered.
You know, really?
I swear to you, I literally couldn't. When I heard somebody say that, I got him right on the radio show. I said, "Did you say what I think you said?" He said, look at the schedule, Sally. I couldn't make it up. 6 months, one shot. 7 months, the second. Flu shots for infants. Yeah, right. Exactly. So this is exactly when you had pulled it. Or were, I don't know if you pulled it or if they're still doing it, and but they just recommended you don't. Do you know?
It is actually recommended yearly to have the flu shot, but it is not on the schedule. As in, if you don't have that shot, it doesn't affect your payments. But the push to, you know, vaccinate as much as possible is intense. So, yes, our children, you know, some children will have the flu shot. Ironically, as we were talking before about the dark communities, is our Aboriginal children here in Australia are given more vaccines. So extra pneumococcal, extra hepatitis B vaccines, and so they're, and hepatitis A vaccine they also have. So, yeah, they're actually vaccinated even more, even though they're genetically more susceptible to, you know, vaccine injury. It's just crazy.
Well, I've heard that in Canada, they basically give twice as many vaccines, and possibly in America too, to the Native Americans. So, yeah. I mean, but there are some other things I wanted to address that you said in terms of compare and contrast. So, yeah, that's a huge issue and especially since the MMR is affecting dark people more.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
You know, and Ginger Taylor of the Canary Party, she's out of Maine. She had written something that I read on air the other day because I thought it was very interesting. She was saying the reason they're getting away with calling vaccination safe and effective is that because we can't sue the drug companies directly, there is no discovery. Discovery is where everything has to be presented in a court of law. And so even though it's in their documents that these poisons are contained within them, even though the inserts to the vaccines list all these adverse reactions as a reality, because there is no legal way to challenge that, it is not, they're getting away with it. I mean, the whole thing is so mad. Okay, another thing you brought up, I don't know what I was saying when I wrote that. I don't know what I was referring to. Those are some compare and contrast there. We're both in a very terrible situation at the end of the day.
I think something that does need to be addressed, because we're talking about Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, is over here we have what we call a National Disability Insurance Scheme. So what happens is this is the money that is given to those that are disabled or unable, you know, that sort of thing. Now, our disability scheme over here is just going through the roof, as in we have so many people with learning difficulties, with disabilities, unable to care for themselves. I mean, this scheme, and so one of the things when I went to Canberra and spoke to a few politicians, the National Disability Insurance Scheme is going to cripple Australia economically. There's no way we can sustain looking after all these extremely unhealthy, ill, disabled, mentally challenged people. It's just impossible down the track. So I think everyone needs to have a little think about that and go, well, exactly where are we heading?
Eugenics. They're going to kill off the people that can't afford to support themselves because we won't be able to support them. And it's not an us or them. It's going to be everybody, you know. But eugenics is where this is headed. I have no question in my mind exactly what they're going to do. Right now, they are starving. They passed a bill to starve dementia patients.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then the question has to be asked, why do people have dementia? And that's what annoys me. Nobody ever, like very few people question why. They just come up with a solution to try and fix or eradicate, as in eradicate the person and the problem. Yeah, that's terrible.
Right. Well, actually, I just made up a meme. It says, eradicate vaccines before they eradicate mankind.
Yeah,
that is my latest meme. I try to figure out ways of saying things. Today is International Peace Day. If I tell you what they do on International Peace Day, your eyes will roll in the back of your head. It's called Peace One Day. And when I first heard about it, I heard a young hippie talk about if we could get everyone to put down their guns for just one day, maybe we could get them to do it for 2 days. And I thought, as an anti-war activist at the time, yay, I love this positive young man. Well, guess what they do on Peace One Day? They send in 10,000 vaccinators and vaccinate 1.6 or 1.4 million children. As Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, said, the adults put down their weapons and we vaccinate their children for peace.
Oh my God, we are in such a mad world. How can that be peace? You are destroying people's lives forever. There's nothing peaceful about having, you know, a vaccine-damaged child in a wheelchair that's disabled and flinging shit everywhere because they have autism. I mean, you know, like, oh,
well,
dear.
As I say, if you want your children to care for you as when you grow old, in your old age, don't vaccinate them.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy world, and you know, the biggest concern is the underreporting of injury and the disassociation. Like, you know, somebody will have a reaction directly after vaccination, and you know, the doctors here in Australia will blatantly look at the mama and say, no, that had nothing to do with the vaccines. Oh, what, my baby's limp and lifeless and that had nothing to do with the vaccines? I mean, it's mad. That is just mad.
Well, I never got to actually give you the good news about the controlgroup.org, because this gives me hope. It's the only thing that has given me hope, because we are headed right towards this eugenics train, big time. Except if we stop right now, she has gotten thousands of input from unvaccinated children, not vaccinated in the womb or outside the womb. Not, you know, if the mother was vaccinated while they were in the womb, and just unvaccinated children. And unvaccinated children have less than 1% chronic illness.
Yeah.
That's a far cry from 54% to 70%, right?
Yeah.
Chronic
illness.
So this is where what she's taking to court. This is irrefutable evidence that if you know, any pediatrician could open up all of his folders and compare his vaccinated to unvaccinated children. Every person I've interviewed, I say, did you go on to vaccinate the others after your child became autistic? No, I didn't. How is their health? Superb. You know, so all I can say is I saw this woman racing down the block. I raced after her because I educate people, and she had a carriage, you know. So she whipped around, and as I say, I don't look at kids. I can't stand what I see when I do, so I've just stopped looking at them. I talk directly to the parents, and I never even glance at the children. Yeah. So she whipped around the stroller, and I couldn't not look at this child. Her eyes were sparkling with intelligence. They were just sparkling. And I said to the woman, your child is sparkling with intelligence. And she said she's never been vaccinated. I said, did you know why I was chasing you? And she's like, no. And I said, well, you're not from this country. I said, you're not from this country, are you? She said, no, I'm from another country. And so the bottom line is, your child is sparkling with intelligence. She can't be American.
Yeah, that's right, because our babies are drugs for the heels.
Yeah, and we're doing this to, so they can learn. Yes, we're going to dumb you down, so we send you to school, and then we're going to confuse the heck out of you with the Common Core. I mean, this is some level of torture, and now we've got all these kids with the autism, their brains are saturated with aluminum, which is what they found when they did the autopsies, and now we're going to zap them with the 5G.
Yeah, I know. I know, just to hyper-stimulate that and do the job properly. I just want to say here in Australia, we have the Medicare system that I spoke about earlier. So what happens is you use your card every time you go to the doctor. So our Australian government have the records of every Australian, right? So, and they also know who is and isn't vaccinated. It would be very, very, very simple for the Australian government to do an unvaccinated versus vaccinated study. Back in 2013, Professor Peter McIntyre, who was big over here, pushing vaccination, had an interview with Meryl Dorey, who is the founder of the AVN, the Australian Vaccination Risk Network, and they had a discussion, and he said they were doing an unvaccinated-vaccinated study. Nobody has ever seen that study. Now, we know why that study has never been released, if it was even ever done at all. It's because the unvaccinated are far, 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 far healthier than the vaccinated. We know that, and they know that. The government knows that, and yet we keep vaccinating anyway. How interesting, though, Sally, it would be so easy to do the study here in Australia, and yet it's never been done.
Well, that's why I'm doing my own study. Everybody I ever interviewed with the vaccine and your child, I went back to and said, well, how are the other kids? They're great, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Anybody can, any pediatrician's office, we could, you know, commandeer their folders and we would know. Any pediatrician's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the adverse events, we all know, the poisons within vaccines, we all know, the vaccinated versus unvaccinated, we all know, and yet we can get no action. This is, I think, the definition of criminality. I don't think there is a greater crime anywhere.
No, and I think this is the thing. We know that the pharmaceutical industry is a trillion-dollar industry. Of course they don't want to give away their right to drug people. And we have to start looking at vaccines as a drug. I talk about mass drugging. And I know people's eyes light up when I talk about it because they know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's not just vaccines. It's the antidepressants. It's the drugging while you're pregnant, during labor, after labor. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry are just literally laughing, and we're just pawns in their pathetic, evil, little game of making money, and it's pure greed. I also want to point out my daughter. She's 6 and a half, beautiful, and I have anaphylaxis, allergies, autoimmune issues, and she has nothing.
That's what's so exciting. As screwed up as we are, we don't have to screw up the next generation. It's less than 1% have a chronic illness. This is so beyond exciting, people. Stop vaccinating, no matter what they tell you to do. Don't do it.
No, you couldn't pay me to vaccinate her. I know what the vaccines have done to me. And it's not going to happen because, you know, life's not worth the hell of...
Okay, I just want to say, here in New York, it's either homeschool or move. That's what we're down to. Okay, thank you, Alona Lawn from Australia. You have been a tremendous guest, and I thank you for your activism as always. You're the bomb, girl.
Oh, blessings, hon, and love to everyone out there doing the activism. It's amazing. Keep up the good work.
Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Bye.
And then we're coming. You best start running. I hear we're coming after you. Ah.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.